Attention, film school students. Here are a few announcements. Item 1. There are a lot of famous Beatles in the world of entertainment. Item 2. To start, there's the Beatles and Beetlejuice. Item 3. For another, there's Big Bad Beetleborgs. Oh, and item 4. If anyone can find the film school janitors in their lunch break, tell them it's time to review Blue Beetle. Don't be blue, Blue Beetle. You may have a future after all.
Here's a little story about a trio of janitors. Might have heard they worked at a well-known film school. They picked up a few things other than trash. They might hate your movie or if drunk think it's cool. Every now and then they get together for a lunch break. Trash talks a movie or TV or streaming. Rodney and Jason and Sean Bale clean house. If you listen close, you can hear kids screaming.
All right, so we're late to the game on this one, too, but it is
1980s Captain America.
Yes, no. Blue Beetle, the movie that's maybe the first in the DCU, the new one by James Gunn.
That's tolerable?
Well, like, I mean, yeah, that's tolerable. Yeah. But I think he's kind of willing to keep it. Now, do both of you read any of the comics with him? I know you might be more familiar with
him. I had some older Blue Beetle stuff. I actually might own a couple Blue Beetle stuff, but not this Blue Beetle character.
Okay, but you have the Ted Kord.
Ted Kord, I think that was him.
Do you know like about him and Booster Gold?
They're like best friends, and yeah, they move people were knocking down what's-his-name's door, telling him to do these two in a movie.
James Gunn
say,
well, that's why I think they're...
You gotta do a buddy movie with these
That's
two.
Why I said I think they're keeping him because...
I like him, he's a...
The actor, I think his name is
Cobra Kai. I don't know. He's Cobra Kai.
Yeah, Zolo.
It's Cobra Kai.
It's Cobra Kai.
It's Miguel, but Zolo Medeiros, I think how you say it, maybe. But I know a lot of people love Blue Beetle and Booster Gold.
Yeah.
Do you know, are you familiar with either Booster Gold's character, Randall?
No.
Do I explain his? It's a fun story. I mean,
Booster Gold's from the future.
Sweet.
And he's got all these stuff that makes him look like he's got superpowers, but he's just so far from
like
the future.
Kane?
Right, Kang. Yes, sure.
So,
the Kang,
okay.
The Conqueror.
White Kang?
No, but it's like Idiocracy Kang.
Oh.
So it's like everybody, if you grabbed all your iPods here and your virtual reality things, blah,
and went
blah,
back
blah,
to 1820.
And yeah, and you would look so far advanced, but you're just a regular dude with all the technology.
Oh, so that's who Booster Gold is?
That's who Booster Gold.
That's Booster Gold.
The perfect role, the perfect casting for him would be, everybody knows it would be him. It would be,
Nathan Fillion?
No. People are saying
not Ryan Reynolds.
No. People are, damn it.
Ryan Gosling.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Chris Pratt.
Everybody's saying Chris Pratt would be the perfect casting for him.
Oh yeah.
For Booster Gold.
For being a cocky guy from the future.
And Chris Pratt and what's his name? Super close anyway.
James Gunn.
So they're like, you got to bring him, like, get him out the Marvel universe because Marvel wants to keep him longer. They're saying, and I think Marvel was worried about they're losing him, so they made this gun.
He will return
as the Star-Lord in the next movie till fucking whatever, just because they don't want to let him go.
Right.
Because they know Gunn's going to try to take him from Booster Gold.
Yeah.
So it's probably.
But you almost. I guess he can be older because this character is the younger, the third incarnation.
Yeah.
So I did like. Now, not knowing too much, I mean, I'm aware of Blue Beetle and Booster Gold, but Blue Beetle, I'm aware more because of the toys that are coming out.
Okay.
The McFarlane, they're doing those retro toys.
Oh, okay.
So there's like the Beetle vehicle,
okay,
which is in this. So I got very excited going, oh, that looks just like the toy does. I'm pointing at the TV, but
oh, I was like, "What?
No! I don't have it.
I do have a lot of toys.
Like,
for the record, he's got a lot of toys behind us. So when he points and does that, I tend to believe it might be there. So.
But then the Ted Kord costume too—they show that in like the little lair. But yeah, the basic idea of this one,
the Ted Kord looks like it's
young
looks
kid
like a,
getting
looks like an older blue Ant-Man outfit. Like it looks like it's drawn on.
Yeah,
almost
it's like
Acrobat.
Yeah, like light blue with the like legs, and then he's dark blue otherwise.
Yeah,
with the
but it looks like
an
older acrobat type outfit thing. But yeah.
So, how would you explain his powers in this? Who wants to take?
Yeah,
it
you want
to
see if you.
I just thought he just had a magical suit.
So this alien.
I mean, that's what
that works. Like, and we're done. And Blue Beetle's wrapped up, and we're done.
That's all it was to me.
I might be wrong on a couple things, so I'm sure you have to help me with this. It's been a while since I watched the movie. The Blue Beetle itself is an alien form, right?
Yep.
And it attaches to something kind of like Venom.
Suit.
It's very much like Venom.
And
Iron Man.
And Iron Man.
Deadpool.
But it attaches to its host and wants to protect its host. Now, is its host supposed to destroy the planet? Is this some Dragon Ball Z type shit?
I don't think they got too much into that.
Okay.
But they basically mentioned in the original comics. So this is another situation where you get DC Comics back in the past would buy up their competition. So that's why you have so Captain many Marvel. Disparate things all over the place. Yeah. So this was like,
what is the other one? Who was that? And they screwed that company out. It was the All Black Comic Company that DC bought out and didn't do anything with anybody. But
or was it not Wildstorm? It's
they didn't do anything with any of them, but the cartoon they put on TV with what's his name?
Yeah, Static Shock.
Static Shock. Static Shock's from there.
Yeah. What is that?
Shit.
I do.
There's
know
another character like a Black Superman. I can't remember his name. But they took all those characters and they fucking subbed them underneath. Didn't do anything with anybody but Static Shock. But yeah, DC does that shit all the time. And they took
like Black Lightning.
Black Lightning, is that Black Lightning from that?
No. I think Black he's Lightning earlier, but that's also a thing they reference. Like how many like black superheroes? Why do they always have to have electrical powers? Like almost all the major ones you know have some kind of electrical.
But
power.
I think it's roughly like 20 years ago. DC bought out this company. Yeah, it was all black artists, black writers, black everything.
And I remember they had a black Superman, and
I can't remember his name either. Took them all,
Impact,
and just put them all under whatever, and didn't do anything.
You talking about the guy with the hammer?
No, hammer.
Not steel.
Why does that think his name begins with a B or some shit?
I thought it was with an I. Let's see, Static.
No, it's not.
Let me see.
Just gotta find the comics. It'll pop up.
Yeah.
Pause for this small. I'll break in the.
Icon was the
Icon.
Guy.
Why do I think B?
And then the line.
Icon. His 2040 name, Bicon.
Milestone.
Milestone Comics, yeah.
So, okay. And Icon was. I knew it was an I in my head.
They bought them up and just swept them all under a rug, but that's what DC does. That's what Warner Brothers does.
And that's what.
Because they don't even know what to do their own heroes nowadays, let alone anybody else's heroes.
Because that was what DC or Marvel always called them, the distinguished competition. And that was like, they were their own thing, and then they bought up. The only one I think Marvel ever bought up was Malibu. Because they wanted their technology for doing the art. But so anyway, this character, Blue Beetle, it was like another guy who's kind of like a Batman. He made his own technology. Then they retroactively made it be this beetle, this scare beetle that shows him. And, you know, so this is, I think what makes this one unique is it's, you know, family, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yes, Vin Diesel.
I think George Lopez was fantastic in this.
Yes.
Yeah, he was.
So, yeah, he's basically a kid, comes back from school, has sister, mom, dad, uncle, and grandma all live together in Palermo City, which is their Miami, which I do. That's one thing, like, Marvel gets all the credit for being, like, in the real world. But I do like kind of DC having alternate
DC,
reality.
Like Emerald City, San Diego. Like if you know like the layout of DC, you know what the real place is. So
like Gotham, Metropolis are all like, which Gotham's out New York, but Metropolis is. I always thought Metropolis was maybe New York, but yeah, it's Chicago.
I always thought Metropolis was New York and Gotham was Chicago.
Look up a list.
How'd you take it as?
This Gotham, Chicago?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
I don't know. I could be wrong.
Because they filmed it there, so that might be why. But look up and see if there's a list, like an analogous list to see.
And I don't know. Maybe I think that way now because Nolan maybe think that way because he did Batman in Chicago. Because
Star City is like San Diego, right?
No, I thought Emerald City was San Diego.
Oh, San Francisco, you said.
San Francisco. Which one's on the water?
They're both on the water. One's at the top, one's at the bottom.
Oh, you might be right then. Okay, all right. Because I know.
Star I always thought was at the bottom, so San Diego. So Palermo City's Miami. I mean, all intents and purposes, it's Miami. But yeah, so Susan Sarandon, while you're looking that up, Susan Sarandon is the head of Cord Industries. Ted Cord's gone, and his daughter is kind of like the trying to do right by the company, where Susan Sarandon is trying to make, you know, military weapons. Very much Iron Man situation here. And they have this program called OMAC, where they're going to put it in the back of a soldier.
They do fake cities and stuff, but they kept Kansas the same.
Yeah. For Smallville.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then, so she's got this program, OMAC, where it's supposed to be this, like, augmented thing that goes in their spine and puts a suit of armor over their soldiers. And she wants the Blue Beetle technology, but they can't crack the code on it. And I guess in the very beginning, they found it in ice. Like, it's not like they've had it forever. They just found it. They kind of really jumped through it. But, yeah, so Jaime Reyes comes back from college. He's got a pre-law degree, but, you know, they're going to lose their house because they're gentrifying the area. They're raising the rent. So him and his sister are working at Susan Sarandon's house, and his sister has to take a shit and then uses the private bathroom. And he kind of overhears them going at Ted Cord's daughter. He intervenes. They both get fired. So the daughter, Jenny, likes him enough to say, like, hey, you know, come to meet me at the big corporate office. I can probably get you a job in there somewhere. So he takes her up on the offer, and then that's when she's stealing the scarab, gives it to him. It attaches to his body as George Lopez says it goes up his ass. Yeah. But it like takes over, burns all his clothes off, you know, sort of like your Flash joke in.
Okay, this is what Reddit thinks they are.
Okay.
Because I couldn't find.
I found the officials.
Metropolis is New York City during the daytime, Gotham City in the nighttime. So they're both New York, which is kind of weird. That doesn't make sense to me. This is just Reddit people talking. You might have found something different.
Nope. I'll tell you. Go ahead.
Central and Keystone City stand for two cities in Kansas.
Okay.
Star City is definitely Seattle.
Oh, okay.
And Coast City seems like to stand in for San Diego.
Oh, Coast City. Okay.
Coast City is San Diego.
Because Coast City is supposed to be where Green Arrow is, but they call it Starling.
Star, which is, well, Star sits.
Well, it was Starling, and then it became Star.
Where's Flash from? Okay.
Flash is the Star City, I think.
I've gotten the impression that Gotham is in New Jersey and Metropolis is across in Delaware. Okay, this guy's not the fuck he's talking
about. Okay, he's an idiot.
I gotta stop retching. Yeah. Okay, what do you got over there?
So very similar that in the comics, it was supposed to be that Gotham is based up. Gotham and Metropolis are both based off of like New York.
And different versions of New York.
Yeah, like different versions of New York. Like Metropolis is supposed to be like, you know, like the bustling city, the more up, you know, like
Manhattan.
Yeah, like a high, you know, and then Gotham's supposed to be like the under dark side of New York. Christopher Nolan and everybody else in the film verse try to base Gotham off of New York. But they even referenced it, saying that the comics reference it as New York. I mean, Chicago. So, I'm sorry. They try to go off to Chicago. The film verse try to do Chicago, but they said that the comics even reference New York.
Okay.
Yeah, here's when Metropolis was first made, because when they first made Superman in the early 1900s, it actually resembled Cleveland, which makes sense to me.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which makes, because the two writers are from Cleveland.
Yeah.
So that's what they saw Cleveland as. So Metropolis was Cleveland when it was first made.
That's what I thought. It was more of a Midwest capital city.
But it's been changed quite a bit since time. And then Gotham... So this is a guy.
I thought it might have been.
He gives
St.
a pretty
Louis
good breakdown,
something.
Actually, okay. And he gives it to. Mm-hmm. I know, just like you said too. Gotham and Metropolis are based now as New York in different timelines, depending on what you look on it. So that actually kills a lot of that noise because I was really thinking, like, I thought it was, but now they think right now Gotham is located in New Jersey.
Okay. Like Newark or something.
Yeah. What's Bloodhaven? Who's from?
Oh, that's where the kind of ghetto-y area where
that's part of New Jersey also.
Okay.
They said so that kind of makes.
They
sense.
They did that in Arrow a lot.
And now modern-day Metropolis, without saying when they were made and how much they were changed, this is like now. Modern-day Metropolis is a northern Delaware. So I guess that's okay. Where it currently would reside because okay. It's changed like what it's supposed to be. Keystone is located in northern Kansas along with Missouri River North and Kansas City across from Central City.
Okay.
Coast City is Southern California between San Diego and Los Angeles.
Okay.
I've never heard of National City. Located in Central California, whereas between Los Angeles and San Francisco. However, Wikipedia says that Texas for some reason. So this guy did his research. Star City, is this the same thing you found? Is that what you're looking at? Star City, prior to Flashpoint, that's what we're talking about, it was a city located on Northern California. That's what I thought too, between San Francisco and Oregon. Oh, I thought it was further. I had that wrong then. Does not exist post-Flashpoint. Green Arrow now operates exclusively in Seattle, although Seattle was briefly renamed to Star City during Benjamin Percy's run during Rebirth. So they move this shit around a lot, depending on the spectrum of the world or where the world's at, right. I guess. Fawcett City?
Yeah, Fawcett Comics. That's basically I think Fawcett City Comics is all the people that The Watchmen was based on.
Oh, so
Blue Beetle might be Fawcett.
Fawcett City actually is the Midwest. It's Indiana, Minnesota, Wisconsin. It's the Midwest. So
anywhere in there they want.
Yep, they said, yep. Gateway, originally located in Northern California, somewhere near San Francisco. It does not exist post-Flashpoint. So whatever it was worth, Gateway is no longer from Gateway. Midway, formerly located in Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Oh.
Who's from Midway?
I don't know.
I don't know what all is existing.
Vixen? I think Vixen's from Michigan.
A lot of stories nowadays use real-world cities, and as fictional cities, those characters resided in one. So whoever's from Midway is from Northern Michigan, actually, whoever that is. Opal, located in coastal Maryland. That's the name, Opal. Hub City, Southern Illinois. St. Rock or Roque. I don't know how it's located.
R-O-Q-U-E.
R-O-C-H.
Oh.
Located in Southern Central Louisiana.
These are getting deep woods ones. Are there any more that look
Vanity,
familiar?
Vanity, South America. Smallville, located in Central Kansas, which we know the Kansas part was real. Ivytown, Connecticut. Happy Harbor, Rhode Island. And Amnesty Bay, Southern Maine.
Okay.
Hawkman, Hawkwoman.
Oh, okay. But that's, I guess, they changed depending on the current atmosphere of the world at that point, or United States. Because you told me Metropolis is Delaware?
Mm-hmm, yeah. I wouldn't
figured. That's not Metropolis I know. That's not my Metropolis. So,
back to Blue Beetle. No. I asked about it. That's why I was curious. But yeah, the basic idea is he's got this symbiote, or they can't call him symbiote because that's from the other one. But it's, she said it's a symbiotic relationship with this beetle. Wants to kill the bad guy Carapax.
I'm like a leech. I just take all our life.
Yeah, the Carapax bad guy. Carapax is a bug term for like the shell outside of a bug. Okay. So keeping with the theme of everything.
Not parallax.
Okay. And he goes to, like, the suit wants to kill him. He won't let him, but he really should have because it would have caused a lot of less hassle later. Like, the dad didn't die. I was surprised when they killed the dad.
Yep.
Like, the dad had mentioned he had had a heart attack while they were gone.
Did you stop when you were go, no, George Lopez, no.
Not George Lopez.
But he was the uncle.
We loved, was he the uncle? Okay.
Yeah. But it was like a good scene.
It's been a minute since I've seen this movie.
I did say things like, wait, I don't remember him dying.
But it was a good scene because it gave the grandma like the impetus. She's like, she goes, there's no time to cry now. We have to go rescue Jaime because they're taking him to try to separate him from the suit. They figure out the only way they can separate him from the suit is if they kill him. The bad guys don't necessarily know that. And they're trying to download the code they couldn't get from it before because it's unlocked to put into the OMAC body suits that Carapax has, if this makes any sense.
And you keep saying Carapax, and ever since you said Parallax, I'm
but the main thing is the family is very involved in the process. They get in the big beetle bug ship with Jenny Cord, and the sister gets like a weapon. Everybody kind of gets their little moment to shine, but the grandma reveals she was a revolutionary back in Mexico, and you know, she's the one's like, there's no time to cry, we have to go rescue him. And the bad guy, they did the same thing in this that they do with all the other movies up to a certain point, up through, I think, maybe Ant-Man, where the bad guy is exactly the same as the hero, you know, the mirror version. And it's like, all right.
Or Ant-Man and everything else. Everything. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. Who do we blame for that? Who was the first to ever do that?
All of them, probably. Yeah, all the movies do because they don't know where to go with it.
Right.
Yeah. But this one, I think, I mean, I don't know what you guys thought about it, but like, I thought this one worked because of the family. And that was something I always heard was that made it worth it. Like at the very end, when they kind of win the day, the grandmother goes, now we can cry, you know, like now we can mourn your father. Even he had the sweet scene where he was like almost in that heaven state to see his dad when he needed to finally bond. Cause he was fighting the bond with the alien. Cause then the alien also can heal his skin. Like at one point he has a wound and then it like healed his body. Like it was integrated. It was very much Venom, Iron Man Venom. But you know, the father and him have like a scene kind of like, hey, you're here, you're on your way out. I feel like my moment is to be here to push you to join with that thing because that's going to make everything better in the long run. But yeah, that, I liked it ultimately. You know, break the world, but I liked the look of it. It used a lot of the Tron type lighting, which I always have said they do not do in a lot of things, and they should do it more because it always looks fucking sweet.
They're making a new Tron, aren't they?
They are making a third one with Jared Leto for whatever fucking reason.
And you love Jared Leto.
Uh huh.
You love Jared Leto.
Ares. It's going to be called Tron Ares. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but
is he going to be the villain? He can't be the main character.
I'm sure he's the villain.
Okay. I can handle if he's a villain.
He'll be.
Really? Because he's one of my favorite movies of all time. He's like one of the worst villains in that movie. He wasn't been in a movie.
What movie was that?
Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, 2049.
Fight Club. Is he a villain in Fight Club? He just got beat up in Fight Club.
Look. Blade Runner 2049.
I do like Fight Club. You like Jared Leto's character too? You think he just was
supposed to play that? He was a bad guy in Panic Room.
He was the bad guy. He wasn't no problem in it. He was just the bad guy. He's a futuristic bad guy. I had no problem with him.
They just said, come in and don't act at all.
Do we like him as Morbius?
We ain't going to talk about Morbius here.
Okay? It's not Morbin time.
It's not Morbin time.
Okay.
So. What about, he was in Panic Room. He had the cornrows and when they broke into Jodie Foster's house with a young
Kristen
Stewart.
I liked him as the Little Wayne Joker. Okay.
Was that his idea or the writer's idea?
His idea.
It was his idea.
So that's
saw a Little Wayne rap video and was like, oh, let me portray this as the Joker.
And I think the director was like, yeah, this is going to be like badass. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think that was the whole mentality on the set was
like. And then the director's cut, they fixed it. And I was like, yeah, I can get down with this.
Which director's cut?
The 5-hour one.
Justice League. Yeah, ending post-credit, like when they go in the future. That was sweet.
Yeah, his whole backstory with Batman, I would pay to watch that movie.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the only way to make that work. But the Suicide Squad, they still claim David Ayers has a director's cut, and he wants to do it so bad. Because, you know, we've talked about that story, but movie got promoted. The advertising company made a fun looking video, and it was at the time of Guardians of the Galaxy. And Warner Brothers went, no, this, we don't like this movie like it is. We want it to look like that move, like the preview you made. So they got the company that edited the commercials to recut the whole movie.
Oh, damn. So now I want to see. I actually like the first one. So
you like helicopters crashing three times and everybody surviving every single time?
Oh, yes. The original. Yeah.
I mean, it's every comic book ever. Think about if you watched X-Men 97.
God. Why you're sending in a squad that you're expecting to die, a suicide mission, but you're going to send actual regular soldiers who take more risk than the people you're sending in that you are considering expendable. Oh, that movie's fucking stupid. Anyway, ultimately, do you like Blue Beetle?
Yeah, it was good. It was, I don't remember most of it, so I don't know how much it stuck.
It's a very
me.
Straightforward
yeah,
film.
Yeah, so, but I don't remember being bad.
Action,
so.
Power, suspense.
I don't remember being bad. So.
What about you, Randall?
It was okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, the family, I thought it was like a nice, it fit in nicely kind of with the first Shazam.
It's so funny. You like the family movie, Sean. you don't want danger anymore in your movies. You like the family ones. Sean's turned into like the uncle. Like,
oh, wait till I talk about Godzilla.
Oh, are you? Yeah. Okay. It's funny. You're turning into this like.
Oh, yeah. I got this.
Like uncle. Yeah.
But yeah, then they had a post-credit scene basically where because they turned on the secret lair, Ted Kord's voice came through and he's like, I'm still alive because the daughter thought he was dead. Obviously, you know, who knows what they're going to do, but I really think they're going to keep it for a
I think he
gold.
Said he, did he say he was keeping this part of
yeah,
it?
Yeah, he said he liked this one. And they mentioned the stuff in the universe. There was nothing specific, nothing, you know, explicit about what version of Superman. Because if James Gunn's starting off his universe with the Superman movie already in motion, like, I think he's playing it the same way that the Superman Returns was, where Superman's out in space for so long and comes back to Earth. And that's what I think
he's got
doing.
The Kingdom Come.
Yes.
So I don't know. Kingdom Come is a very older Superman, but he casts a younger guy. So
yeah, I think
know.
He's doing just a version of that world where, because he says he wants to have all these superheroes already existing. So when Superman comes back, what's changed since he's been gone?
And
so
probably how much he means to that society because he was gone, right?
Right. So we'll see. I have faith that he'll do a good job. Because you took Peacemaker and you made a character you killed in a movie worth 10 episodes. Again, John Cena, but... Yeah. All right, that should be it. Back to work.
Thanks for completing this course. For more lessons, follow the Film School Janitors on Instagram and Facebook under Film School Janitors and on Twitter under FS Janitors. Please rate and review this podcast wherever you may have found it, and feel free to email us at filmschooljanitors@gmail.com. Now get back to your studies.